In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This evening, I'm going to have a shorter message, continuing on with the mystery of the Father's love. We get to the final culmination now of where we've been headed through our Lenten series as we get to the darkness of the cross. And in that darkness, we find that Jesus is our substitute. And continuing on with Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 26, we see somewhat of a mirror image of what will happen to Jesus as he goes on trial, as he is crucified. Obviously, the people... He gained a very large following, as we talked about on Sunday, just a little bit, Palm Sunday, you know, the cheers of Hosanna, and then by tonight, these cheers of crucify him. And so in chapter 26 of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 7, it says, "The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, 'You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, "This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitants"? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord." And so we see kind of an image here of what will happen to Jesus in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sent to the Israelite people. He was speaking the words of the Lord. It wasn't his words that he was making up. It was the words that the Lord sent him to say. But yet the people are not wanting any part of it. They're not wanting to turn from their ways. They're wanting to hold on to their selfishness, to the way they want to do things. And so it infuriates them. To the point that they want to kill him. And so going on then with verse 10, "When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, 'This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears.'" And so here we see even the gathering of the officials, kind of a reminder for us as we look back at both Jesus' trials and Jeremiah's. Who was it that wanted to crucify Jesus? It was the officials. It was the church leaders. And here in Jeremiah's case, the same thing is happening. But then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." Jeremiah is telling them, "I'm yours, whatever you want to do, but if you kill me, innocent blood is going to be on your hands." Sound a little bit familiar? Innocent blood. You know, it's amazing to me that, and we'll hear some of these words in a moment, but Pilate. You know, Pilate gets the brunt of everything, and I think Pilate later on really becomes a very crazy man. But initially at Jesus' trials, what would be his sentence? Innocent. I mean, he can't find anything wrong deserving death. In fact, he goes and washes his hands and says, "Okay, do with him what you want, because I cannot find anything deserving death." And ultimately, Jesus will go and die. There's a little bit of a difference. You know, Jeremiah spoke up quite a bit here in face of death. What does Jesus do? Pretty much silent, right? It doesn't say a whole lot of words. But as except when he gets to the cross, you know, the seven last words that we looked at actually last Lent. But as we think about what is taking place now, Jesus becomes that substitute. If we really think about the Old Testament was all about the sacrificing of the animals. That was the way that people made atonement for their sin. And it was day after day, month after month, year after year, that these animals had to be sacrificed. And then in Leviticus chapter 16, we see a very interesting, an interesting law that the Lord set into place, that Aaron was supposed to take a bull, and he was going to sacrifice that bull for his sin, and then he was going to take two goats. One goat was for the Lord, and one goat was the scapegoat. And he was to cast lots to see which goat fell to the Lord and which one fell as the scapegoat. And the one that fell to the Lord, the lot that fell on the Lord, the goat, that goat was sacrificed for the sin of the people. But then the scapegoat, what's interesting about this is Aaron would take his hands and he would place both his hands on the goat's head, transferring in a sense all of the sins of the people, and then he would send him out into the wilderness to be released. But with all of these sacrifices, I said one time, we went through all of the feasts and the, you know, all of the laws, all the sacrifices that had to be made. I said, there is absolutely no way I would have been able to be an Israelite. Because I can't even begin to keep that straight. But then somebody told me, well, you'd probably have an app on your iPhone that would help you do that today. But it's amazing, you know, how many rituals they had to go through and all of these things that they had to do. But not anymore. Because Jesus becomes that once and for all sacrifice. He becomes that substitute for us. He actually stands in our place and takes on the punishment for our sin, so that we do not have to experience that. And he transfers to us forgiveness in life. And so this evening, as we go through the readings of the Passion, as we go through them in a responsive way, I pray that we can really focus on this, yeah, the darkness of the cross, the substitute that Jesus becomes for us. And we can truly be thankful for all that he's done for us. Amen.